All right. Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here today. It's good to be back out of town the last week or so to a conference there. It doesn't hurt that it was in Myrtle Beach. 75 degrees every day. Real nice. But I was telling Rick, I said, and so they have a pre-conference and the conference. I was able to hear 16 messages over the last week. And so I'm ready to go this morning, being back home here and to share with you. So put your seatbelts on and cancel lunch, and we'll just make it an early supper. We're glad to be back. Carrie Allen and his wife Pam send their regards to the congregation, which, by the way, Carrie will be with us at family camp. Carrie and Pam both will be with us at family camp this next year as well. There was something else I was going to share. If I remember it, we'll do that. Oh, I know. Being that I usually just do a Thanksgiving message right before Thanksgiving, but we're going to have a somewhat of a little mini series of sorts here of Thanksgiving. This one a little more. Goes along with Rick's class on prayer, on how we need to incorporate Thanksgiving into our prayer life. And then next week, a little more satirical look or sarcasm in our giving of thanks. Prepare for that next week so that you're not like, boy, this guy's a real downer, really, you know. That's the way the sermon will go. Anyway, so our message for this morning is entitled Giving Thanks. I want to add to that so that we see this, not just giving thanks, but giving thanks when we are not sure how. And so, like this morning in Rick's class, David's prayer was from a man who knew how to pray. There are sometimes, maybe as Christians, as new Christians, maybe we don't know how to pray. Maybe we've never learned how to pray and what to pray for and things of that nature. As we see that in David's prayer, he was able to get very specific. And that's because he understood some things about prayer. And so maybe this is an idea for us, especially this time of year, to try to improve our prayer life. Maybe try to, there's things that maybe, as I said, new Christians, we're trying to grow in that. And so hopefully some of these things will help us. So giving thanks when we are not sure how. It's easy to be thankful when life is going good, is it not? It's so easy. When we get a new job, when we fall in love, or we are blessed with some unexpected good fortune that comes our way. You know, you go, I don't know if it's Ed McMahon. Did he pass away, maybe? I don't know. But remember, they always have the commercials with Ed McMahon on your front porch with a big check saying, oh, yeah, you know, wouldn't that be great if that happened to you today? Of course, they always say, you might have already won. Not that you did, but you might. But, you know, if we had some sort of good fortune come our way, you know, like you are walking up to the house and you trip over a gold bar, wouldn't that be great? You know, things like that. But it is more challenging to give thanks when things are or do get difficult. Maybe you've got a loved one that's in the hospital and the diagnosis is not good. Maybe you've just been given some unfortunate news in your own life. And then it gets a little harder to pray and be thankful. But we need to be incorporating prayer every day into our life and making it a habit that invites thankfulness into your life. And so it reminds me of a story of a little church in Kentucky one morning. There was an especially verbal and boisterous child being hurried out of the church service because of all the noise he was making. Father's carrying him out, gonna distribute the necessary punishment. And no one in the congregation so much as raised an eyebrow until that little kid and his father hit the back door, just getting ready to leave the auditorium. And in the southern accent, you heard the little child say, "Y'all pray for me now, okay?" All right. And so sometimes we get punishments coming our way, and we're not so thankful for those. But God knows what we need. God speaks to us through His Word, and His Word alone. Nobody gets a private interpretation. Nobody gets a special revelation. It comes to us through God's Word. And then how do we talk to Him? In prayer. In prayer. And so we're going to look at those things. We go to Him, as Jesus said, in our Father's name, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus, we address the Father, and then Jesus tells us in another place then, whatever you ask in my name, that will I give to you. And then so that's why we close out and pray our prayers in Jesus' name, asking Him to mediate those things for us, to be there for us. So we're going to look at five areas to hopefully help you this morning in your prayer life, maybe to begin that prayer life, and how to look at it when we are not sure how. Because there's times that, you know, a preacher for 23 years, a Christian for 34 years, you don't know exactly what to say. But God's there for us. And just begin the conversation. And that's what we want to look at this morning. The first thing is start by simply saying thank you. Simply start by saying thank you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything, give thanks." Just going to let you know, easier said than done. Easier said than done. In everything, give thanks. Right? Driving down the road, you have a flat tire, stops you from getting to where you want to go on time. How do we find a way to thank the Lord for that? Right? George, you got a lot of praise Jesus moments. He calls me yesterday morning. He's like, "I don't know if I'll be able to make it to camp meeting. I'm going to try." He goes, "As you can probably hear through the phone, I've got a wheel bearing going out." I could hear it through the phone. It was like, so praise Jesus, right? So how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you make that? Well, so, you know, there's times, I use this, I think, many years ago when we had the big blue bus and Mike would drive us to camp. There was one of the years we were going to camp right down here on Bull Rapids Road. Pickup truck, come right off the side to pass us, almost drives through a field, pushes Mike to the side of the road. We slow way down so this vehicle can get around. And of course, the rest of the, you know, we're like, "Boy, what was that guy thinking? What is he trying to do?" And everything. And he slowed us down, you know, just not that Mike, you know, almost had to come to a stop. And then, you know, the bus, you just don't hit the gas and it would take back off, you know, it takes your time. Well, then later on, about an hour later in our journey, we come to the little town of Neptune, and there was a car that blew the intersection and hit another vehicle. And I couldn't help but think, if we were 30 seconds earlier, would that have been our bus that got hit? But yet, that guy that we were upset with slowed us down, so we didn't make... And I don't know. I'm just... And so you stop and you thank God for the idiot driving that made us slow down. Right? You know, and so that you try to find thanks, and it says to be thankful in everything. Why is that? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It glorifies the Father and the Son when we thank Him for all that he has done for us. When our children first begin to talk, one of the first things we teach them to say, besides mommy and daddy, or if you're a papaw, you try to teach them to say papaw first. If, you know, we try to teach them, is one of the first things we teach them outside of those things are what? Please and thank you, right? And so, and it usually comes out like this, peas, peas. You know, and then, so you put peas on their plate, and they're like, no, you know. So they say, please and thank you. Thank you. Just trying to gain that attitude, train them in that attitude. Today's prayers often start with what we want or what we need from God. You know, many times we rarely thank him for the gifts that he has given us. And if we do, then we save them for at the end and say thank you for everything. Or maybe not at all. So try starting your prayers off with gratitude for the Lord's gifts. Maybe not just that, but maybe try once a day to have a prayer time that is just simply for giving thanks. Not asking for anything, just thanking him for what he has given to us. As the old song says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. Number two, it's just, we make it a lot harder than it needs to be. Just have a conversation. Have a conversation. Talk to the Father. Do not let not knowing what to say keep you from incorporating prayer into your life. It's just simply talking to him. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6:9. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Speak with God like you would to a friend, or even better, speak to him as him being your Father in heaven. Those that remember scripture from the book of Acts, remember the angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was the prayers of the saints that fetched the angel. Invite him to your home and share your daily worries, your struggles, your blessings, your praises, and your questions. Just simply have a conversation. Well, I don't know what to say. Just start talking. Just start talking. Jesus Christ will mediate for us, and he'll make sense of that to the Father and take that before his throne and help us in that conversation. John Bunyan said this. He's the one that wrote Pilgrim's Progress and other books. But in this one, he said, when you pray, rather let your heart be without words than your words without heart. In other words, just open up, be honest, be simple. We have this with our kids as well, our grandkids. It's been about a month ago now, bringing Jude home from morning school there, kindergarten. We're traveling down Springfield Center Road, and Jude's like, Papa? I said, yeah. He goes, would it be all right if we just have a prayer right now? And I was like, well, I'm driving, but if you want to pray, go ahead. And so, he was praying. He says, I pray for my mommy because she works tonight. I pray for, this and help me be a, good boy at school and things like that. And then he was just, in Jesus' name, amen. Just a simple prayer. It's just a conversation. He just wanted to stop and talk to God for a moment. There's nothing wrong with that. And as we said, we'll find out we're also to pray without ceasing, but that doesn't mean we have to close our eyes, especially when we're driving. All right, but we'll look at that in just a little bit. So start by saying thank you. Have a conversation. Include prayer in your daily tasks. You got things you're doing, doing the dishes, sweeping the floor, dusting, gives us all kinds of opportunities. Lord, thank you that I have this whole trash bag full of paper and garbage and junk that we were blessed with to be able to eat the last few days, right? You know, whatever it may be, but include in prayer in your daily tasks. You do not have to wait until dinner time or bedtime to say your prayers. We see that Daniel, remember, even before the decree was made not to pray to anybody else, he had already been praying three times a day to God. Now, we can assume that that's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I don't necessarily think that was the case. I think he had purpose. Well, it says that he had purpose in his heart to pray those times and to talk to the Lord. But he included that in his daily routine. The fewer the words, many times, the better the prayer. I've heard people try to impress everybody else around them and use big words and descriptions and things of that nature that just make it simple, right? The old phrase, kiss, keep it simple, stupid, right? And so when we do that in our prayers, as we said, sometimes, the Lord knows. He knows our hearts. The fewer the words, the better. Sometimes we as people do that as well, talking, sharing with others. We end up giving more information that doesn't matter. Get to the point. I'm not saying that God doesn't, but get to the point what we're there for and asking. To have prayed well is to have studied well. And remember, our prayers are us talking to the Father. His word, reading the Bible, is Him talking to us. We'll know how to communicate better to Him if we know how He is communicating to us. Occasionally, Tom Roth will come in the mornings and stand at the door with me. And as some of the little Amish boys walk in, he'll talk to them in German. And, you know, and so they'll, like, turn around and look at him. And one of them will usually respond back in German. But to me, that means nothing. I don't know German. But Tom understands what he's asking them. And they at least understand how to respond to him. And so... As we look at that, if you have studied that or learned that, then that makes sense in their communication. But there's sometimes you can tell how much a person is in the Word of God by how much or by what their prayers are like. Because when you become more familiar with Him, then it makes more sense. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Include this prayer in your daily tasks. Talk to God while you're waiting in line to pick up your child from school. Pray to God instead of spewing anger at an unsafe drivers on the road. Sometimes that would keep you busy your whole drive. And then live a prayerful life by including it whenever you can. And as we said, our prayers don't have to be long and extensive. They need to just be possibly short and meaningful. But include that whenever you can. Include your prayer in daily tasks. Number four, do not hide what you feel. Do not hide what you feel. Sometimes we're afraid to tell our friends or our family how we're feeling because we'll make them mad, right? Well, I'm here to let you know God has super big shoulders. He can handle it. Okay? So let Him know your feelings. However, when you do let Him know your feelings and He's ready to talk back to you in His Word, then be ready to hear His response. See, we want to burden somebody else with all this, and God's there to take that burden. However, when He's going to tell us the answer or that maybe you're the problem, then put on your big boy pants and get ready to listen to what God is telling you through His Word. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in Him at all times, O people. pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. In other words, He wants for us to seek shelter in Him. He wants for us to come to Him with our struggles and our trials and our temptations and all those things that bog us down and weigh us down and that we have difficulties with. He already knows our what's in our hearts, but telling Him honestly how we feel helps us focus our emotions and address issues that we are having trouble dealing with ourselves. It is also a way to strengthen our relationship with God. You know, we say, well, I just don't feel comfortable talking to God about that. Then you better get real comfortable with it. Because if we can't carry on a conversation with Him, then what gives us any thought that we would have a desire to spend all eternity with Him? So don't hide what you feel. Then number five, let God take away your worries. Let God take away your worries. Mary C. Crowley, in her book, Be Somebody, says, every evening I turn my worries over to God. He's going to be up all night anyway. Right? And so we worry about things and we put stress and anxiety on things in our lives that is unnecessary. The next time we begin to worry, there's nothing wrong with asking God to take that worry away from us. When we become a Christian, when we in faith and are obedient to Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at our baptism, and then we have that relationship with God, our Father, we are not alone anymore. It was sometime back in a class, someone was teaching that they made reference to being alone in the crowd. But with Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit as our guide, and our God in heaven as our Father, we're never alone. You're only alone if you choose, as Rick shared this morning, and if you choose to move. If you move out of that situation and away from the help. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When we're struggling, when we don't think we can go on, when the burdens seem too heavy for us, remember He says, take upon you my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my yoke is light. Usually the yoke is there for two animals to share the burden together, but Jesus wants to do the work and carry those with you and for you. Why worry when you can trust? You know, it's kind of like sitting in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. That's what worry does. Once we are adopted by God through faith and obedience into our lives, we no longer must struggle with worries of ourselves. Jesus says, and Coop touched on this at the communion meditation, Jesus says that He will give us His peace. Well, what is His peace? This month at school, our fruit of the Spirit is that of peace. Jesus says He wants to give us our peace. My peace I leave with you. The peace of the Holy Spirit in our life to help us. Again, so how do I get this peace of the Holy Spirit within me? Well, Scripture tells us, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you want the peace that Christ has to offer? Do you want the Holy Spirit? Then there's a plan of salvation that is given to us in Scripture that helps for us to acquire that. The plan of salvation begins by telling us that we need to believe in Jesus. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's not just a prophet, not just a good guy, but that he is the incarnate Word of God. He is God in the flesh. He has put on that flesh to be amongst us. Do you believe that Jesus is the one that died for you? Do you believe that Jesus was put into a tomb and 3 days later conquered the grave for you? Believe in Jesus and who he is. John 8:24, unless you believe that I am he, you're going to perish. Repent of your sin. This is Luke 13:3 tells us, repent of your sin or you're going to perish. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord, Matthew 10:32. If you will confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father is in heaven. There's nothing more that I'm counting on than on the day of judgment, that when I explain and they open up the Lamb's Book of Life and the Book of Deeds, and they open those up and my deeds fall drastically short, I'm going to say, and also I knew your son. And Jesus is going to look at the Father and say, he's one of mine. Are you willing to be immersed? Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. Be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then do your best as all possible that lives within you. And knowing that we're going to stumble and we're going to falter and we're going to fail, he still died for us anyway, and his mercy will cover and his grace will cover where we have fallen short. Live faithfully for him. When you tell the world that you're a Christian, are they shocked? Or does it confirm their suspicions? If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ, as Dale prayed at the beginning of the service, let today be your day of salvation. Will you stand?